every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And it all has to do with you. Thanks for tuning in. It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
I talk to the tree, stop and hear what I say.
Come on around back, Arizona. Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, our outdoor living hour here at Rosie on the House. Second Saturday of the month, so we are talking trees. We have ISA certified arborist Sarah Maitland in studio from Save a Tree joining us. And you have brought a special guest, Laura Hackett from Liberty Wildlife Foundation. And we'll talk about trees and the relationship they have with birds. But we have, if you're following along in our home maintenance calendar, our tree of the month that we always start with in this broadcast, the weeping acacia tree.
Good morning. Hi, I'm Sarah. And so we're talking about the weeping acacia, but really we refer to it more of a willow acacia in the industry wide. But Acacia salicina is a beautiful tree, very thin foliage, and can grow very tall and more of a narrow growing tree. So it's nice for areas where you don't have a wide spanning canopy. It's from Australia, and I like it a lot. I'm going to plant it next to my barn for shade. And what really is nice is the owls in my neighborhood love the weeping acacia next to my house in my neighbor's yard. But it's evergreen, and so it doesn't really ever lose its leaves. It has some seed pods, and it has phylloids. So the leaves are a little bit different. It's not a true leaf. It's a phylloid. And so it's more of a leathery feel to it. And they can be long and narrow, or they can be a little bit wavy. But the true leaves, if you see when it rains like times like now, are really insignificant, little tiny leaves at the tips. And those fall off, and you mostly just see the phylloid.
Learning some new things about trees. I didn't know they had a thylloid.
Phylloid.
Phylloid.
Yeah. P-H-Y-L-L-O-D-E-S. And the acacia tree, the key to this tree and really having success is fixing the roots when you plant it, because they're very fast growing, and so they tend to circle in the pots really quickly. And then also staking it and structural pruning it when it's young. And then you're going to have a great tree.
So very, very young. If you are at a nursery and you find one in a bigger container, you've got to really look for a root curl and correcting that when you go to plant?
Correct. No matter how they grow them, it's impossible to not have circling roots when you plant.
And so what do you do when you go to plant? You just shave off those roots that are circling and let them...
Well, what happens is the root hits the edge of the pot and turns, and it'll continue to grow in that circle until you stop it. And so you open up the root ball and you cut it at the turn, or straighten it if you can. But
very good. So that is our tree of the month. You can see pictures of it at rosieonthehouse.com right there in our quick links. You can see the weeping acacia tree. You can just click on it and take a preview. Introduce your guest.
Yes. I love birds, you guys, and we really want to encourage habitat. We're losing a little bit of birds, but I'll let Laura talk about it. This is Laura Hackett, and she came to join us today to talk about trees and birds.
Yeah, thank you all for having me. I'm the education coordinator and also the wildlife biologist at Liberty Wildlife. We are a nonprofit wildlife rehabilitation and education center. So we do focus primarily on birds, but we take in all kinds of sick, injured, and orphaned native wildlife. So we see a little bit of everything. And our hope is to rehabilitate them and get them back out into the wild, into the healthy habitats, so that they can survive and thrive out there. So trees are obviously an extremely important part of that.
And so before the broadcast started, you said you'd probably be a busy day because of the amount of wind we had last night. So how does, if somebody's out there and they find a baby bird that's blown out of the tree, out of the nest, they just bring it to y'all?
Well, at this time of year, you're probably going to see a lot of doves and dove babies, especially on the ground after windstorms like that. What we actually promote doing is moving them to a safer location where they fell. See if you can find the nest to place them back up in there if they're not injured. If you can't, then leave them on the ground and see if the parents are nearby. A lot of times they will continue to take care of their young on the ground. If you don't see parents coming by, or if you see an injury, or if the baby does seem extremely young, you can call our hotline and check to see if it's something that needs to be brought in, and you can bring it in to us. We're open from 8 o'clock to 6 o'clock. Our window is usually fairly busy after these storms.
So you said put the bird back in the nest if you're able to, which kind of dispels a myth that you've heard forever. Don't touch a bird or the mom's never going to come back to it.
Exactly. We continue to hear that myth, and people continue to tell it to their children and hold on to it for life. Birds really don't have a great sense of smell at all. So if you touch a baby bird, the parents are not going to smell you on them and reject them. So you can place them back into a nest if it's safe.
If you'd like to talk trees, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. You can text questions to 411-923, or you can send an email to info@rosieonthehouse.com. We have Sarah Maitland from Save a Tree and Laura Hackett from the Liberty Wildlife talking trees, the relationship trees have with birds, birds in our environment. And we should probably real quick first, though, address a little bit of storm damage. It was quite a wind event last night. From inside the house last night, it sounded like I was just waiting for, you know, the Wicked Witch of the West to come screaming down the road somewhere. I mean, it was blowing. And then this morning, we had at least an inch of rain overnight.
There was a lot of rain. And I'm sure there's a lot of storm damage. What really causes a lot of it is just improper pruning. And people tend to strip up their trees and remove all the lower branches and the interior branches. And the only place the tree can grow is at the end. And I was with my crew yesterday on site, and I saw this huge pile of foliage that they had removed. And I looked at the tree, and it didn't even look like it had been pruned. And that's when you bring in an excellent arborist and highly skilled tree workers. And you want to look at a tree and see the leaves and the foliage moving, but the major branches staying still. And that's all technique and skill and proper pruning. And getting ahead of it and keeping maintenance, not really just waiting till they're way too heavy. Maintenance and telling a tree which direction to grow by the way you prune it.
We have a native Palo Verde that was just sprouted. And I've almost cut it down a half dozen times because it's right next to our arena. And right now, you know, if you ride by it, you know, those branches will take your head out, scratch you all up. So the only place I prune it is when you can ride under either on the horse or the tractor, you're not getting hit. But the whole top of it, there's like a big opening in it this morning. Like every single branch all the way around it is drooping a couple inches, and it looks like this big open hole right in the center on the top. And I've never seen that on a Palo Verde. I thought, man, we really got hammered last night.
Did you? I don't remember it. I just went out and rescued my tortoise from the rain. That's the only thing I heard last night.
Your tortoise could have caught the wash down the Indian Bend wash, ended up in the Gila River.
But likely what you need to do is reduce some end weight on that. And typically when you cut down the native Palo Verdes and they grow back, you get more of a bush than a tree. But you can still restructure them.
And some of the other storm damage people are going to be experiencing, complete trees knocked over with the entire root ball.
And that's with your circling roots. They tend to, you know, as the girth of the trunk expands, it catches up with that circling root over time, even though the tree's able to stabilize it, and it'll snap right there. Or it just uproots because of the saturated soils. And you can have a soil failure, but maintaining the balance of the tree and end weight reduction is really key. And so I'm just happy to work with Save a Tree and the highly skilled arborists that we have.
Is that the reason why Palo Verde trees seem to be the biggest victim in a windstorm? They seem, I seem to, when something hits like what Romy was talking about last night, and I saw that on the radar, I see more Palo Verdes the victim of storms.
I think because they're stripped up so much. I think that's why they're made to be something they're not. They're really a big shrub in nature, and the winds kind of go up and over them, and as they're stripped up and they catch like a sail in the wind.
And Texans think a mesquite tree is a bush.
Well, native mesquites are a lot like the native Palo Verdes.
They're just a scrub bush is all they are.
A shrub-like nature.
And one of the things on our talking points today as well is disease prevention.
Well, we've had a lot of saturated soils, so we want to turn off our irrigation on the trees and let that let them dry out a little bit. But the other thing that I see the most is trees planted really deeply and water right at the base. And that's where you're really going to get your root rot and your trees going down in storms.
And if a tree's planted too deep, is there anything we can do about that?
Yes. We actually use air spades. We bring in a high-powered air compressor, and we use an air spade, and we blow the soil away from the roots. And we can do that without any harm to the roots, and we excavate and we correct the planting level and kind of graduate it out into the landscape so it looks really natural and clean, and we save a lot of trees that way.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you.